This is Marathon Training Academy, episode 138.
Hello, and welcome to the Marathon Training Academy podcast, where it's all about empowering you to run a marathon and change your life. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Angie.
In this episode, we speak with former Olympian and running great Jeff Galloway about how to run, walk, run a marathon or half marathon. And for this episode's quick tip, Angie recommends an essential oil for fighting allergies and headaches. And to get our help in your training, find out how to become an official Academy member and train with us and our awesome online community by visiting marathontrainingacademy.com and clicking on the Join the Academy page. So, Angie, Boston Marathon's coming up in how many days?
I don't know. Not very many. Five, maybe?
Yeah, at the time of this recording. Some of you might be listening to it after the fact. But we're excited because we're going to be there. Angie's going to be running it. I'm going to be there. And
it's called spectating.
Yes.
If you plan to spectate, which you usually don't.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
You need to spectate. You need to find a good spot. I think it would be really exciting for you to kind of get caught up in the spirit of it and cheer some runners on.
What time does the race start?
It depends on who you are. The wheelchair or hand cycle start at 8:50. Mm-hmm. And then the elite women, I think, start around 9:30 in the morning. And then they have the wave one, and then wave two, wave three, wave four.
What time does your wave start?
I start in wave three, and so I start at 10:50 a.m. Or thereabouts.
It's a little earlier than I like getting up.
I know, but you can make a sacrifice for the Boston Marathon.
Just kidding, folks. I get up way before 10:50. Guarantee. Just had to redeem myself.
Gets up at 7:50.
Oh, this is going to be great. And I was wondering, Angie, which elite runners are going to be there? I know Meb Keflezighi.
Yes.
Who, of course, won it last year. Is going to be running this year.
I mean, pretty much the elite field looks like a who's who in the elite running world. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got, you know, world record holders, people who have won Boston before, and other marathons. You know, I definitely recognize a lot of names. Patrick McCaw on the men's side, has the personal best going into it. Lalisa DeCisa.
Okay, give us an idea of how fast some of these folks are. Like Patrick McCaw, fastest time.
Yeah, he comes in with a 2:03:38 from Berlin in 2011.
Half marathon, right?
That would be a good half marathon pace.
Yeah. My first half marathon was 2:02.
Exactly. So that guy can move. And then Mari Dibaba from Ethiopia, she comes in with a personal best of 2:19:52. So definitely not a slacker on that side either.
No, wow. It's going to be exciting.
It'll be exciting. Top American is Shalane Flanagan. You know, she's finished definitely very close in the last couple of years. And so hopefully maybe it'll be her year this year.
So we're going to be bringing you a full race recap after we get back from Boston. So you can be looking forward to that.
I was thinking we might have to break it into two episodes because I know there's going to be a lot that we're going to want to say about the race itself, you know, and just how everything goes, plus my experience and maybe people that we run into. So we'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, we've reached now the shout out segment of the podcast, and something that we like to do in the beginning here is just send out some props to some folks who are doing some cool things.
That's right. We'd like to say congratulations to John and Karen from Australia, who ran the Paris Marathon this last weekend. And Sarah from the UK ran that as well. And we're all jealous of their medals and the time they got to spend in such an amazing city. Definitely one for the wish list, I would say.
Yes.
And I'd like to say congratulations to Debbie, one of my coaching clients from Texas. She got second in her age group at the Willie McCool Memorial Half Marathon. And this note comes from Trisha. She says, I successfully completed the Jester Challenge at the New Jersey April Fool Half Marathon. I openly acknowledge that I'm a back-of-the-pack runner, but I ran my fastest per-mile race at 10:50 per mile in the 11K yesterday, and then I banged out a 10:49-minute per mile race today in the half marathon. So she was really excited that she's moving up to the middle of the pack and did really good with those back-to-back races.
Trisha, you will love the middle of the pack. I've been living there for years.
He's no plans to leave. I'm there too. And this last note comes from Katie, and she says, it was absolutely beautiful and perfect weather at the Vronia Marathon. It was so nice to have time to myself amongst packing as we get ready to move internationally. I was on pace for my predicted time until I had to slow significantly at the end with muscle cramping. Still, I finished my second marathon sub 4 hours, and every race gets us a little closer to knowing ourselves better. I thought of you all so much when I was running today. And that's from Katie, and she posted that in our member Facebook page.
Well, congrats to all those Academy members, and just keep it up. All of you out there who are putting in the hard training and signing up for more races and reaching your health and fitness goals. You know, I agree with what Katie says, that every race gets us closer to knowing ourselves better. I definitely started learning myself a lot better, and even how my body reacts to food after I became a runner.
And marathons really reveal a lot,
yeah.
You know, because it's such an intense challenge.
That's right. Well, now it's time for our interview with Jeff Galloway. Jeff is such a humble and helpful guy, and this is the first time we've gotten to speak with him, first time he's been on the podcast, but he really is known and loved by millions of runners out there. You know, he's written a lot of books on running, a couple of bestsellers from what I understand. We wanted to get him on the podcast to talk about how to run, walk, run a marathon, because we know that's what a lot of people, especially when they're first starting out, that's the strategy they want to use to get through their first marathon. So we thought it would be very helpful to just talk to the man himself about how to run, walk, run a marathon. So without further ado, here is Jeff Galloway.
Well on my way, well on my way, well on my way.
All right, we're on the podcast today with Jeff Galloway. He has had one of the most influential careers in the history of running. He competed at the 10K distance in the 1972 Olympics. He's run a 2:16 marathon. He's the author of many best-selling books on running, and owner of one of the oldest specialty running stores in America. And he's also the creator of the Galloway Run, Walk, Run program, which has helped hundreds of thousands of people realize their dream of finishing a marathon. He lives in Atlanta, Georgia, with his wife, Barbara. Jeff, thank you for coming on the MTA podcast.
Well, it is just my privilege to be here. Glad to be here.
So you've been running for over 50 years. As you look back on your career, what are some of the moments that you're the most proud of?
Well, obviously making the Olympic team and being able to find a way to support myself through running. But if I had to really put at the very top of the list one item, it would have to be bringing other people into running that never had a prayer of being able to do it. Hmm. And I hear from an average of 100 runners and walkers a day.
Wow.
And so the volume is ongoing. It takes me 5 to 6 hours a day to answer all of these emails, but they're wonderful. And they often involve a story that starts with somebody on the couch and or worse, and what they've been able to do, not just with running, but in their life. And these are wonderful things.
That is. In fact, when we told folks that we were going to be interviewing you, we had one of our members, John, from Australia. He said, please share with Jeff that his method turned a broken-down 40-something former rugby player into a Boston Marathon qualifier in 3 short years. The Galloway method allowed me to overcome a number of long-term serious injuries, avoid new ones, and change running from a required task into a pastime of pure enjoyment. Please pass on my sincere appreciation to Jeff, and I hope to catch him in Orlando in January when I run my second Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend Dopey Challenge.
Well, congratulations, John, and I look forward to meeting you. Please come by my booth in the Run Disney area. We need to talk, and congratulations on your great achievements.
So you travel all over the world doing events and speaking. What's one of the places that you've been to recently? I mean, first of all, are we talking to you? Are you in Georgia right now or somewhere else?
I'm in Florida right now. We have a beach retreat area where we do weekend retreats. We're actually going to do one next weekend.
Nice.
In about 10 days. But the trails are wonderful. We get down here as often as we can, but quite honestly, we travel so much that we aren't able to get down here and run on these wonderful trails. We just got back from Italy. We have two Galloway training groups in Italy, Vicenza and Milano. We ran with them and gave some clinics, but we also went over with the wonderful Run Italy tour that goes to the Rome Marathon. And because they take care of all the logistics, it's just a wonderful tour of Rome and wonderful group of people every year. This has been our fourth year. So, yes,
nice.
We're lucky. We're able to infuse running into trips all over the world and find some amazing places to run. In Italy, for example, the hotel where we stay is right next to this city park with miles of dirt paths that are just fabulous to run on.
So, out of all the places you've gone in the world, what's like one of the most beautiful places that you've gotten to run, would you say?
Well, my son Brennan and I just came out with my newest book just 2 weeks ago. It's called Best Runs, the most beautiful places to run in the United States. And I have to put at top of the list Lake Tahoe region, where I have been going and running since 1975. We put on a summer camp there, and every day we go to a different trail system, and the vistas are simply spectacular. We have several of those portrayed with photographs in that book, but you know, photos don't do justice to magnificent trail vistas. You're up on top of the mountain, 1,000 or 2,000 feet above the lake, and you see the lake and the snow-capped mountains. It's just fabulous to run there.
You can look over and see the desert of Nevada.
You can.
Yeah.
This one trail that we take goes up on the ridgeline, and so at one point, you're looking at the lake on one side, and just a minute or so later, you're looking down on the desert side, on the Nevada side.
I used to ski at Heavenly Ski Resort when I was a kid, and I remember seeing that vista many times. So I got to ask, Jeff, in that new book, I'm sure you've featured Missouri, right? Missouri's got to be one of those top runs.
Well, actually, we did have one trail in Kansas.
Okay, it's close enough.
But we did not get a trail in Missouri. We considered several. As a matter of fact, one of our groups is in Springfield, Missouri. And I go there every year. I'm going there in just a couple of weeks. But one of the things that I really enjoy there is running on the Galloway Trail. There is a trail that went through a little settlement called Galloway, and it's a nice trail. And I really had it on our list, but quite honestly, we had so many unbelievably spectacular trails, it was really hard to put that in.
Definitely understand that. So tell us, for those who are not familiar with the run, walk, run method, how did you come up with it, and tell us how it works?
It was during the first year that I opened my store, Fidipides. I was asked to teach a class at a neighborhood university on beginning running. And so I consented and enrolled the first class of 22. And polled every one of the members and found that none of them had been doing any running at all for at least 5 years, and a lot of them never in their lives. And so I realized that in order to keep them in the game and away from injuries, we would have to have a good bit of walking. And so I was really doing this by seat of the pants the first year. But we quickly divided into three groups based on current ability level. And in every group, I supervised the taking of walk breaks on every single run. At the end of the 10-week class, every one of those 22 finished either a 5K or a 10K, and it was a major milestone in their lives. The surprising thing was there were no injuries. There weren't any injuries during the training or any in the races themselves. And I looked over what we had done, because I'd never done something like this before, taking beginners to the finish line. And I had to realize that it was walk breaks that kept them away from injury. And so in my beginner classes during the 70s, and that, by the way, was 1974 when that class was held. In the rest of the 70s, for all the beginning classes, I used Run, Walk, Run and fine-tuned it. But at the end of the 70s, there were a growing number of former beginners that were starting to beat up on the veterans by using walk breaks. And so I realized there was something else going on here that was quite dynamic. And what it was conservation of resources. And as I kept working with tens of thousands and then hundreds of thousands of runners and getting their direct feedback, I realized that if you have a strategic walk break from the beginning, you erase fatigue, and you also erase the buildup of stress on the weak links that tend to cause injuries. What's even more powerful is that you give every person a chance to feel totally convinced that they can do the next segment of running. And that mental confidence is even greater than the physical, even though the physical confidence is amazing.
Well, I got to tell you, I've been passed in a marathon by plenty of people who doing the Galloway method. And in fact, Angie, you passed Angie at the Air Force Marathon of 2013.
Yep.
and she's pretty fast.
We get a lot of converts that way.
Sure.
It's very surprising, but it really simply works. The fastest that I've heard reported so far is a guy that improved his marathon time from 2:33 to 2:28. The only thing he changed is the insertion of a walk break every single mile from mile one all the way through.
Wow, that's amazing.
There's so many questions I want to ask here. You know, this podcast particularly reaches people who are interested in running a marathon. What about those folks who might be listening who they don't have a problem running a marathon? You're saying basically that the walk breaks can actually help runners conserve energy and reduce injuries. So it could be a strategic thing to introduce walk breaks for a person like that?
Well, first of all, the place in the training where most people find most benefit for run, walk, run is during long runs, because you're not beaten up.
Yeah.
If you have the right ratio from the beginning, then you'll reach the end of that long run and you are saying to yourself, did I really go this distance? I mean, you start to feel almost guilty. Not really. but the fact is, you can carry on your life. You never have to be beaten up by these long runs again. And then secondly, in races, the reason why those who run nonstop get passed, and the reason why people improve their time with run, walk, run is about the slowdown that occurs at the end of a marathon for those that do nonstop running. Almost every single person slows down 6 to 12, or actually 6 to 15 minutes when they run nonstop at the end of a marathon. By the insertion of walk breaks, you can avoid that slowdown. And that's where the speed picks up in running marathons. The average improvement when nonstop runners find the right run, walk, run is over 13 minutes faster with run, walk, run.
So you're saying that basically beginners, people coming off the couch, all the way to people who are already accomplished marathoners can benefit?
I've heard from over 150 runners who have broken 3 hours in the marathon by using run, walk, run, who could not break 3 hours by running nonstop.
So, you know, I mean, kind of walk us through how people find the right ratio for them, because it sounds like it's, you know, maybe going to be radically different between those two groups of people.
Well, it is, but it's based on a principle of pacing. And what I found, and first of all, let me tell you that I get my advice based on what comes back to me after giving advice to people. And I've heard from over 300,000 people now. And over the years, I just successively adapt my advice to what has worked for thousands and then tens of thousands of people. And so in the case of the right run-walk-run ratio, I have discovered that if you attach it to pace at first, and then you experiment on your own to see what works best for you, you're really going to find the right one at some point. So pace per mile. Those who are running a 13-minute per mile or 14-minute per mile, a lot of beginners are in that category, will find a 1-to-1 ratio, but the best configurations are 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 20 seconds, 20 seconds, or actually what my wife Barbara and I use, 15-15, because we have found that with a 15-15, even as opposed to 20-20 and 30-30, we recover dramatically faster, even at our ages of well over 60 years old for me now. But the beauty of it is that you gain control over this by using these guidelines. The 12 to 11 minute per mile pace is a 60-30, 40-20, or 3015. I actually qualified for Boston, and I also ran the Air Force Marathon in 410 using a 30-second run and a 15-second walk. And then going down to 10 minutes per mile, it's 90-30 or 60-20, or even some two-in-ones, a 60-30 or 40-20 or 30-15. And then down to 9-minute per mile pace, the usual best configurations today have been run for 2 minutes and walk for 30 seconds, or run 80 seconds and walk for 20 seconds. But some use a 3-in-1 ratio, and a few people use a 1-in-1 ratio at the 9-minute pace. What I suggest doing is starting with those ratios that you'll find in my Run, Walk, Run book. And then as you go forward in your training every Tuesday, have a series of 4 to 6 800 meters at the time that you want to run in your race. And then experiment. Try one configuration on the first one. On the second one, try a different one. And keep trying throughout the season, 4 to 6 of them every single week. You'll find what works best for you.
And then implementing that into your long runs, I guess, because I think, you know, there is that natural tendency towards the end of a marathon or even a half marathon to want to increase the walk ratio, I'm sure, you know, so having that discipline built in that, you know, it's kind of like set in stone instead of just left up to the moment how you feel, I suppose.
Yes, and the best way to facilitate that is to have one of our timers. We have these Galloway timers that beep and vibrate. They only cost $20.
I think we have one, actually.
All right, there it is. Absolutely. Yeah. And it just keeps repeating, and you become like Pavlov's dog. And so there's much less tendency to sort of slack off in the taking of those towards the end. But I will tell you, in races, it is okay when you're feeling really great at the end to go ahead and run on in. And we tell all of our Galloway folks, and every city that I visit, we have the programs now in 100 cities. I tell them, you get to that last third of your race, and if you want to run in, go for it.
Definitely.
And I imagine that the walk breaks, they're brisk walk breaks too. You're not just like in a lazy stroll during the walk part, right?
It's really individual. Okay. Because some people naturally walk slow, and that's the only way that they can really recover from their run. So we don't try to dictate that, but it will help you, particularly in races, to develop a faster walking technique by walking with a faster cadence. If you try to walk faster with a long stride, there can be some problems. And actually, there are several injuries every year from people that have too long a walking stride. And totally unnecessary. Just keep your walk break within the bounds of your mechanical units. And finally, the first function of a walk break is to recover from the run segment. So, you know, whatever you need to recover from the run segment, make sure you do that.
Recently, I saw on Twitter that you said that even if you have 60 minutes to exercise during the work week, you can still train for a half or full marathon. And at first when I read that, I'm like, wow, only 60 minutes. That seems almost unbelievable, but I'm sure that is true. And I wanted to ask you, what would you recommend people do during that 60 minutes if that's all they have during the work week?
Well, first of all, that's the minimum necessary.
Sure.
If you do the minimum, you still have to do the long runs every 14 to 21 days. But the minimum between the long runs is only 60 minutes a week. And the way that would be done is it would be 20 to 30 minutes on Tuesday and Thursday, and then another, say, 20 to 30 minute on the non-long run weekends. So most of the days do not have to be long, and believe me, we have had tens of thousands of people test us on that. The minimum is simply there to allow for all the adaptations that you produced on the long runs to stay in place. And if you're doing the running, even at 20 minutes every other day, you're going to keep those adaptations. And then the long run, it gets you there. That's the real crux of the training program. Builds that endurance right on up to whatever it is that you want to build it to.
Do you encourage people to be doing any kind of strength training or low-impact exercise to supplement their running?
Well, I've not found that strength training per se is a benefit to distance running. I do recommend for general health some postural muscle strengthening, which I know is crucial over the years for people. And I've been doing some myself for over 50 years now and really see great benefit from it. But I'm not going to win any bodybuilding contest here. It just needs to be the strength to keep you upright as the years go by, and upright running, upright in life. Now, that said, the studies, when I wrote my book Running Till 100, I was able to get a lot of the databases from people who do that type of work for the CDC and other organizations. And there's a whole realm of research out there, tens of millions of subjects in the studies that show very clearly that as people exercise more, they tend to live longer, they tend to avoid the degenerative diseases that others get, they tend to have better mental capacity as the years go by. It's all good. And the way that the researchers sort of spell that out in a simple way is that for every hour you exercise, you extend your lifespan by 2 hours.
Wow.
But one of the major researchers in that is a fellow named Ralph Paffenbarger, who I had the great privilege to meet and interact with. He said that actually runners tend to get more benefit out of their runs because they concentrate the calorie burning into a shorter period of time. So they end up actually getting more of a benefit from the exercise.
That's interesting.
Well, we also have some questions that were sent in by members. And Wendy wants to know, she says, I did my first two marathons Galloway style. My half marathon PR was also doing Galloway. Can you ask him if he ever ran without doing run walk? And also, she wants to know, what's your favorite marathon?
Well, I did a lot of marathons before I started using the technique myself. And I will be honest with you, I was advising others, particularly beginners, to use my method before I started using it myself, a full 5 years to be exact. I didn't start using it till 1978. And since that year, I've had zero overuse injuries. I've not had, not one.
Wow.
Not one. And I can tell you, based on the feedback from others who were doing similar things and had injuries repeatedly before, like I had, when they had found the right run walk run, their injuries either went away or they were totally manageable. So that said, I did a lot of running nonstop, and by 1978, my marathon times were slowing down, and I figured that I probably was at the end of my improvement curve, but I was wrong. 2 years later, I ran the Houston Marathon in 2:16, which was about a minute and a half improvement on my PR. And I took walk breaks during that 2:16 marathon. Now, it wasn't every mile. It was, in my case, it was about every 2 or 3 miles from the beginning. And it was from the beginning that was really the key to it, because for me on that day to take a water walk break at about mile number 3 took that stress away from certain areas that tend to get overused. So it really does work at a wide range of levels, and I see the people's ability as they get older to actually improve if they will use the right run, walk, run.
And your favorite marathon?
They're like children. They're all different. But I can give you some that really are at the top of the list.
Sure.
The Big Sur Marathon, which I'll be running with my wife Barbara in couple of weeks. For beauty, it's just amazing. It really is. Closely associated in beauty, a different type of beauty, is the Ogden Marathon in Ogden, Utah. And it is a mountain beauty. It is absolutely fantastic. And it's also a downhill course. So there are fast times on that course. And I love Ogden. It's really a great great place, great group of people that put it on. For the overall experience, going to a foreign marathon is really a special experience. And I recommend the Apostolos tour to the Athens Marathon because they demystified the history of running with just great tours. You get to see behind the scenes and learn behind the scenes of what went on in ancient Greece and how running was an integral part, distance running was an integral part of the ancient Greek experience when they were developing all the things that we take for granted now in Western civilization. The Rome Marathon, for different historical reasons, is another amazing run, and the Run Italy Tour is the way to go. If you don't go with the tour, you miss out on a lot, and the best tours I've found, and I know about a bunch of them, the Run Italy Tour to Italy and the Apostolos Tour to Athens.
We need to check into those.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, I think I'll ask a question from a Greek guy here. This is from Fodi. He says, I've come to the decision that I'll focus on running more races, about one marathon per month or so, and not worry so much about my finish time. I'm happy finishing anywhere between 4:30 and 5 hours. Both cannot exist for me, at least the speed and the many marathons, he's saying. He says, I'm considering adding in a walk break at each water stop in marathons, about a minute of walking. He says, I know this is not a true Galloway method, but I'm interested in hearing Jeff's thoughts on this. I'm sure he's been asked this before.
Well, the run-walk-run method often starts with somebody using the water stops and taking those water breaks, just as I, in a race, took my first run-walk-run marathon in Houston in 1980 using those water stops. But I will tell you that at the time that he wants to run, we found it much more productive to take walk breaks much more frequently. And so what I'm talking about is like 90 seconds, 30 seconds. In other words, the shorter segments erase fatigue much more dramatically and give you so much back. If you're running a marathon a month, the major item is recovery. And my wife Barbara and I do a marathon a month. We know what you're talking about. We've been doing that for, I guess, 6-7 years now. And we love it only because we have these short segments that we run. And most of the time, we're around 5 hours. And so we're within that same range. And I suspect that we are a good bit older than he is. But in any case, these short segments are simply amazing. But if he's just going to start by taking a walk break every mile, that is much better than not taking any walk breaks at all. And he will see some benefits from that.
Sounds good.
Shira wants to know, what's your top piece of advice for master's level runners?
Well, masters runners, for those that aren't familiar with that, are those who are over the age of 40, and particularly those who are entering masters divisions, competitive divisions, to try to win their age group in those areas. In my book, Running Till 100, I interviewed hundreds of masters runners, and my main reason was to figure out where their problems were and then what I found that can do away with those problems. Now, the problems tend to be in recovery. And as we get older, our body recovers much more slowly. And as a result, there are more aches and pains, more injuries, if you don't do something about it. The single thing that can reduce those injuries are the right placement of walk breaks. And so run, walk, run in the right way is, again, the way to stay competitive at a master's level and recover fast and have a whole lot more fun while doing that too. And so if you'll just look at the either the Running Till 100 book or the new Run Walk Run book, you can pick out the ratios. And they're slightly different for master's runners, but only slightly different. Other things, you need to be more conscious about your fluids. Because the thirst mechanism actually is not as well, you're not as perceiving thirst as well as you get older. Hmm. And so you really have to put yourself on a plan to make sure you're drinking enough fluids. And I do recommend the general rule of 8 8-ounce glasses a day. That's probably a little more than you need, but it's always better to have a little bit more because, you know, your body knows how to get rid of that excess with no problem there. The things that tend to become deal killers for runners are, first of all, running too far before taking a walk break, running too fast, in other words, a speed workout, particularly past the point when you start to get aches and pains. In your 20s, you can often run through the instances of pain, even though you'll pay for it, the body repairs itself. But once you get above a certain age of, say, 50, then you run a risk of having a career-ending injury by trying to run through pain. And so in general, at some point, runners have to figure out whether they want to enjoy every run or whether they want to continue to run as fast as they can, knowing that once you get above 50, it becomes less and less likely that you're going to keep running faster. So, you know, speed kills is what I'm saying. And if you can really enjoy the endorphins and the amazing brain benefits that occur from running, you have so many things to look forward to as you get older. The studies, I'm redoing my mental training book now and discovering all types of studies that have come up in the last 15 years showing that exercise in general, but particularly running, turns on brain circuits for a better attitude, for more personal empowerment, for better vitality, for quicker decision making, for better decision making, on and on, better than any other activity that has been studied. So we have an amazing way to stay current, to think better, to be able to enjoy our lives so much more if we don't get injured. And so run, walk, run is the single best way I've found to keep people injury-free until they're 100. Now, after that, they're on their own.
All bets are off, huh? That's excellent advice there. Edith wants to know, she says, I try to convince my inexperienced running buddies to take planned walk breaks in their longer runs, but they claim it's too difficult to get back to running when they do that. Can Jeff speak to that? Also, how different are his running and walking strides? Is he a 4-foot, midfoot, or a heel strike runner?
Well, the way that your foot lands, let me take that first.
Sure.
Is really based on the way that your genetics, really. How is your foot put together, your leg put together? And the research shows that when people just allow their foot and leg to move through a natural motion, particularly the foot, that it finds the most efficient path. And that when people try to change that natural foot motion to a different way, bad things happen. So it's always better, running-wise, to just let that foot naturally land. Now, that said, there's some form things that I found after now having given more than 10,000 individual running form evaluations over the last 40 years. The form things that work most efficiently for people are keeping your feet low to the ground, keeping your stride relatively short, and having a light touch of the foot. For posture, generally speaking, and the research backs this up, an upright body posture tends to work best and causes fewer problems, particularly in the lower back and the neck and other spinal issues among those that lean forward. So upright body posture is going to tend to take those things away. But with the shorter stride and the lighter touch of the foot and feet low to the ground, the ankle does most of the work, and that's mechanical energy used instead of muscle energy. And so it means that you can just keep on going like the Energizer Bunny.
Well, one final question I have, Jeff, as you were talking, I'm thinking, wow, a marathon a month, and you look like an extremely fit guy. How do you eat? I mean, do you have a certain nutrition philosophy?
Well, I do. And if I were to put it into a general category, it would be my wife Barbara's Mediterranean concept of diet. But it's much more general than that, actually, because we do tend to have very lean protein sources when we eat protein. Mm-hmm. We don't eat red meat, and we avoid fatty cuts of meat in poultry. And in fish, we'll go into some of the omega-3 fish, and we'll certainly eat those because they've been shown to have a protective effect. Other than that, lots of vegetables, fruits, and salads and things. Our daily routine in the evening meal is to have a salad and then put down some grilled chicken or grilled fish on top of it. Mm-hmm. And my wife Barbara does such a wonderful job in preparing things and having a great variety of legumes and other things. So we eat very good tasting food. It just happens to be very healthy too.
Yeah. So if people want to hear you speak this year, where are some of the places you're going to be where runners can connect with you?
Well, there's a place on our website. I believe it's called Where's Jeff?
Okay.
And you can see that. Most of those instances are free. We do have a number of running schools. The two ones that are coming up, one is in Middletown, Connecticut, this coming Saturday morning. And then a couple of weeks after that, I will be in at the Big Sur Marathon doing a running school out there. Those are 3-hour sessions, and they go through soup to nuts about method and really solve problems. Any problems you have, bring them to the class. We also put on beach retreats, and we do those several times a year. And we're going to have one in Blue Mountain Beach, Florida, where we are right now, and in I guess it's about 10 days.
Are you going to be at the Boston Marathon by any chance this year?
Not this year.
Okay.
We actually will be down here doing a beach retreat that particular weekend. I ran Boston last year and absolutely loved it. And I know I will go back, but I still have this old school thing of wanting to qualify. And in the Air Force Marathon, that was my mission. And quite honestly, it was the first time in 10 years that I had tried to qualify when I ran Air Force 18 months ago, and I didn't quite make it. I was 38 seconds too slow, but I got back out there in a couple of months at the Space Coast Marathon and made it. And I'll give it another shot, but not this year.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Well, I encourage everybody to go to jeffgalloway.com. It's got tons of resources over there, and you can find training groups and training plans for the run, walk, run method and all kinds of good stuff. So, Jeff, big thanks again for letting us talk to you here on the MTA podcast, and I know it's going to provide a lot of value to our listeners.
Well, anytime, Trevor, Angie, that I can help you, please let me know. Y'all do a great job.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Have a great day down there in sunny Florida.
We're looking forward to it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Jeff Galloway. A big thanks to Jeff for letting us interview him on the MTA podcast. And, of course, you can find him at jeffgalloway.com. So, Angie, I know that you personally don't like to walk if you can help it at a marathon if you're going out for a time. I do like to walk through water stops. What are some of your thoughts and what's your impression after talking to Jeff about strategically introducing walk breaks into a marathon?
Well, he definitely makes a good case for people of all experience levels and paces introducing strategic walk breaks into their race. And so it definitely makes a lot of sense. And so I think, you know, if this is something that you've been considering or perhaps if you've been experimenting with it a little bit, it can definitely be a great strategy for you. A lot of the coaching clients that I work with do run, walk, run intervals. Mm-hmm. And it's very good for getting them across the finish line of whatever distance and not feeling like they're going to die, especially as Jeff talked about, as he got older, he found that the run, walk, run intervals were especially important for him.
Yeah.
So, it can definitely be a great strategy. I found personally that I don't really like to walk during marathons that much, if at all. So,
but you may, you know, in 10 or 20 years from now, you
exactly.
May.
Yeah, I plan on, you know, being a runner the rest of my life, and I'm sure my strategy will change over time, mm-hmm. As my body changes, as my goals change, perhaps. And so, yeah, I think it can be definitely something that's very helpful for runners.
So, if someone is in the middle of training for a marathon, like right now, let's say they've got a month or two until their marathon, is this something that they should try to start doing if they haven't before? Or say just wait?
It depends on their goals for the marathon. You know, if they're training for a specific time goal and they've never experimented with run, walk, run intervals and they're that close, it may not be the best mm-hmm. idea for them. However, if you have more time, if maybe you're at the beginning of a training plan and you'd like to experiment with doing these intervals, you know, introduce them on your long runs and see which one works best for you. Jeff talked about having to experiment a bit to see what ratio was the best. And if you're getting close to race day, I wouldn't probably do anything differently. But if you have some time and this seems like something that is very intriguing to you, then definitely by all means experiment on your long runs.
So if someone has a training plan, it could be either one of our MTA training plans or another training plan, and they want to use Jeff's system, but they want to use it in their existing training plan, how do they do that? How do they kind of synthesize the two?
Well, Jeff talked about the magic mile to determine your pace. And so that's when you're going to find a track or a flat, unobstructed path or road, and you're going to run 1 mile hard and record your time. And this can be used to evaluate your progress and also to help you choose a run, walk, run interval. So you can find out more information on the Magic Mile on Jeff's website. And then you use the chart that he's developed to determine what your run, walk, run interval is going to be based on your Magic Mile time. And then simply start incorporating the interval that you chose during your next long run. And there are various apps that you can get that will track your run, walk, run intervals. There are some GPS watches that you can program in intervals, or you can purchase the Galloway Run, Walk, Run timer that he talked about as well. And as you begin to use the run, walk plan during long runs, you can adjust it to make it fit your experience level and your needs. We've talked about before, some runners may benefit from a scheduled walk every mile or simply through aid stations, while others may need shorter intervals like a one-to-one interval or even 30 seconds to 30 seconds he talked about. And then be committed to following the intervals during the race, even when things get tough. I think it can be easy to implement maybe for the first half of the race, but you know, as you get tired and the miles wear on, you may not feel so strong and you may want to extend mm-hmm. those walk breaks, but you really have to stay committed to your plan for it to be most successful.
That reminds me of my first marathon.
Yes, I was thinking about that too.
Those extended walk breaks that we took.
Yes, I think we had agreed on, what was it, a minute every mile?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they were getting longer and longer as the race wore on until you started thinking about locking yourself into a porta-pot to get away from me.
Well, you were like the walk break dictator on that.
Well, we had agreed on it previously, so I was thinking, you know, let's do the plan. Come on. But yes.
Yes.
The hazards of pacing your spouse on their first marathon.
Oh, yeah.
Fortunately, our marriage survived.
Well, now it's time for this episode's quick tip, and we're going to recommend an essential oil because we try to be about, you know, natural cures, if at all possible. But this essential oil is said to help people with headaches and with allergies, and it is lavender.
That's right. It's one of the most versatile of all the essential oils. And it's been widely used for thousands of years. And I found out it was actually commonly used back in World War II in hospitals and was very effective. And also some modern hospitals are implementing it, especially in Europe. So, you know, some of the older tried and true treatments of the past are actually being rediscovered, I guess, today. Mm. It's most commonly known for its relaxing effects on the body, and therapeutic grade lavender is also good for the skin. Some common uses for lavender include stress relief. It can help relax you and improve your sleep. It can be used for insect bites and skin irritations and also allergies like hay fever. And some people report that it can help ease headaches, you know, especially those caused by sinus issues. And it can be diffused in the air, it can be applied to the skin, and even taken internally.
So you, Angie, use lavender when?
I use it specifically when allergy season gets really bad, which it's starting to in Missouri here really flare up. And so I will commonly just rub some lavender on my temples, kind of under my nose, sometimes in between my eyes because I tend to get really itchy eyes. Mm-hmm. And it can be helpful. If it gets really bad, I'll put a few drops of lavender in a capsule and swallow it, kind of a more of a stronger internal dose. And it doesn't take care of my allergy symptoms 100%, but it's certainly very helpful. And if I feel like a headache's coming on, I'll put some lavender on my temples. And I rub it all over our kids towards bedtime so they settle down. Here, come take a lavender bath.
Well, if you'd like more information on running and marathon training, visit us on our blog, marathontrainingacademy.com. And if you want to get one of our most downloaded and most entertaining episodes from years gone by, you can find that when you sign up for our newsletter over on our website. It's a good way to keep up with new stuff that we publish and exciting things going on out there in MTA land. As always, a big thanks for being a listener to this podcast. We are so glad to be on this running journey with you, and we want you to remember that you do have what it takes to run a marathon or to run walk a marathon and change your life. Right on my way, right on my